This is URN.
This is The Pulse with Felix Hawes and only Felix Hawes this Friday on University Radio Nottingham the 4th of November. We've just done our national story and now it's our international story where we're going to be talking about Chancellor Olaf Scholz, who is Chancellor of Germany, of course replaced Angela Merkel, and his meeting with President Xi Jinping of China. Now, this has caused a little bit of controversy because President Xi Jinping has just been elected for his third term in office. Now, that is, if I am not mistaken, and I might be, but I don't think I am, that President Xi Jinping's third term in office is the first time a Chinese leader, premier, has had a third term since Chairman Mao. Chairman Mao, the most brutal dictator in history, so always good to be following in his footsteps, I'm sure. President Xi Jinping is obviously not elected by the Chinese people because it's an authoritarian state, and at a recent party congress, that's the Chinese Communist Party Congress, a former president of China, a more pro-West, if there is such a terminology for the Chinese Communist Party, Hu Jintao, was escorted out of the congress. And Xi Jinping sat there and sort of twiddled his thumbs like, sorry about this. Deary me, this isn't looking good. Even though, of course, it was him that probably ordered it, almost certainly ordered Hu Jintao's removal. Now, President Xi, so why is this controversy there, controversial then? Well, some people are saying, German commentators are saying that Chancellor Scholz is meeting President Xi so close to his re-election, put that in, what am I looking for, the English word, inverted commas, that's it, because obviously the election is not quite how we would deem an election, it legitimizes his dictatorship of China and breaking the two-term limit that was introduced post-Chairman Mao. Now, Chancellor Scholz is following a similar policy to the former Chancellor of Germany, Angela Merkel, of still saying we have to talk to these people, we have to talk to leaders that we don't agree with. Now, of course, that didn't go quite so well for Chancellor Merkel with Vladimir Putin of Russia, who Merkel was sort of trying to befriend at the best of her ability, of a man that is obviously genocidal, has genocidal tendencies, and also is not a nice man, as surprise, surprise. He did bring dogs to meet Angela Merkel, even though he knew full well that she had a phobia of dogs. Now, her policy of being close to Russia and, of course, getting Nord Stream 2 gas supply hasn't done her country many favours now involving Ukraine. And, of course, Germany were very slow at helping Ukraine compared to the United Kingdom. In fact, it was reported that Germany was blocking the Royal Air Force from being able to access their airspace in order to deliver supplies to Ukraine. This was pre-Russian invasion. So maybe this policy of befriending totalitarian leaders is not the best idea. Let's not forget that President Xi is presiding over a government that has the worst inequality in the world, of a Gini coefficient score of 0.44, 0 being the worst, 1 being the best in terms of equality, and a state that is killing its own people with the Uyghur Muslims, of which has been deemed to be a genocide on a scale of really unprecedented levels in modern times. So really not great. So Chancellor Scholz has been condemned for this, but he's arguing, look, I'm going over there to tell President Xi that he really needs to speak to his buddy President Putin and tell him to get out of Ukraine, which is, of course, illegally invaded in February earlier this year. President Xi hasn't been completely supportive of Putin. That's not saying that he's condemned him, but he abstained in the UN on the condemnation of the invasion of Ukraine. Some of Putin's buddies, like Nicaragua, North Korea, you know, the old favourites, did support Putin, but Xi Jinping's China abstained. So maybe there is a bit of wiggle room there. President Xi Jinping has a lot of power. unlike really Putin, where Russia is very weak, China is strong, but maybe there is an air of encouragement there. Now, why doesn't President Xi Jinping support Russia and its claims? Well, multiple different reasons, it's believed, one of which is Putin's claims that he's uniting all Russian people, the idea of a nation state, a state that should contain all ethnic people, in this case ethnically Russians. Well, that's slightly problematic for China, which doesn't contain one homogenous ethnic Chinese group. So making that claim, making a claim that a nation state is something we should believe in, is something that Xi Jinping might not necessarily subscribe to. Additionally, China gets very huffy-puffy when the West or anyone else intervenes in what they deem to be their territory, that is Hong Kong, Macau, Taiwan, the East China Sea, and therefore would be a little bit hypocritical when they're trying to make progress regarding this, to then say, oh, well, yes, we respect national sovereignty, but not really Ukraine's. So that's why they're upset, but also they don't want to annoy President Putin. Not that they really would actually suffer that much if they annoyed him, because China, as I've said, is very powerful, the second most powerful country in the world to the United States on most metrics, whilst Russia is really not that powerful beyond its nuclear weapons, which might not even work. He has no real need to, but of course they're both authoritarians, so they're of the same sort of brush, but both not massive fans of the United States, NATO, and the Western capitalist system, even though both Russia and China do engage in many capitalist systems themselves. I should really retract that on behalf of Russia, because it is capitalistic, though, of course, many socialists seem to still hold Russia in much regard, despite its interesting actions of late. So that is the international story about Chancellor Olaf Scholz, who is of the Social Democrat Party, the centre-left party of Germany, meeting President Xi Jinping. What do you think, Pulse listeners, on this? Is it sometimes necessary to talk to people we don't agree with? And we talk about free speech on a sort of university campus level of talking to people we disagree with, but is this the same when we're talking to a genocidal dictator in Xi Jinping or not? Was Olaf Scholz correct with this approach, which didn't do Merkel much favours with Russia? Or should we be trying to isolate China as much as we can? We're very dependent on China in a very capitalist world. This was previously the idea, is that if China, Russia, traditionally seen as enemies of the West, were involved in our capitalist free market system, that they would never want to invade or declare war on the West because they're so dependent on them economically. And obviously Russia is suffering more so than we are at the moment with economics because of the restrictions and trade restrictions put upon them, including banking transactions as well, which is really hurting their economy. China, of course, is a lot more economically powerful, and we are more tied to them than we are to Russia with a lot of trade. It would be very difficult to isolate them. But is this something we should be doing? Should we be moving industry away from China and more to pro-West states, or indeed homegrown Western countries? Industry in this country, which many people who voted for Brexit would have supported. But do we actually have the number of workers to provide this? Also, the free market approach will always try and find the most cheapest labour, of which China has indeed perhaps not even paid labour. So is this something that we should be doing, moving away from China, or should we not want to antagonise it because China is powerful and could easily wipe out all of us, all of you lovely Pulse listeners, all you Take That fans and big picture regular enthusiasts? Everyone would be dead. Not perhaps the best thing that we'd want. Now, regarding China and the geopolitical scene at the moment, of course, President Biden has said on two occasions now, at least two, that the USA would defend Taiwan if China was to invade it. And that would be World War III. We obviously were concerned about that. Many students were concerned about the possibility of the Third World War regarding Russia's invasion of Ukraine. That is definitely likely to happen with a Chinese invasion of Taiwan, but China are aware of this, and they also know about mutually assured destruction. I think President Xi Jinping has his head more screwed on as an authoritarian leader than Putin. Putin's made a lot of mistakes regarding trying to coerce his own power, for example, with the internet. He thought, yes, we'll censor television and we'll censor newspapers, and that's good. Just leave the internet, you know, little thing, no one really goes on it. Oh, turns out people do, and that's why the young people in Russia are more sceptical of Putin's regime than older people, because they have more access of anti-Putin information. That until recently, when Facebook and things have been banned from the Russian internet. China, of course, always been very controlling of the internet, and President Xi Jinping has consolidated his power very well. Putin's probably got his consolidation of power more than Xi Jinping, because Xi Jinping is still somewhat reliant on the Chinese Communist Party, whereas Putin is not dependent on many parties, his party at all, the United Russia Party, which indeed he did leave at one point. But Xi Jinping is got his head more screwed on. I don't think he's, this is my personal assessment of him as a character, I think he's less likely to push a button because he's aware that it would destroy his country, which Putin perhaps is less concerned about because he seems to be more of a maniac. So I think that Xi Jinping will not invade Taiwan. But there is an idea within many hawks, that is, people more likely to engage in aggressive defense policy or attack policy, which I think probably more appropriate in regarding with China. President Xi Jinping and the hawks, there is the idea that, you know, Taiwan is going to be slowly moving away from China. Of course, at one point, the two were the same country. Indeed, some people do believe that now. And eventually, because it is moving away, that it's better to stem that now before it gets too late. Now, before we move on to another musical break, I do want to just give you a brief rundown of the China-Taiwan history, very, very brief. So, there was a war, surprise, surprise, there was a war between the government of China, this is in the 1940s, and the Communist Party. The Communists won the war, and the sitting government left mainland China to go to the island of Taiwan, Chinese Taipei, another word for it. The government of Taiwan, therefore, actually do call themselves the Republic of China, because they see themselves as the legitimate government of China. Whilst in China, what we call China is the People's Republic of China. So you've got two rival claims to the one country. China, Xi Jinping's China, the People's Republic of China, the Communist China, is not happy, but is willing to tolerate Taiwan claiming both China and Taiwan. But when Taiwan starts to move away and say, we're not China, we are Taiwan, and sort of give up its claims on the mainland, interestingly, that would actually annoy the Chinese communists more, because they believe in one China, just a different type of China to what they believe. Two separate entities, not a good move for them.
We're on campus and we're online.
We're online.
University.
Radio.
Nottingham.